A little bit of a Masechta Megillah tonight.
Okay.
Is that all right?
Great.
Okay. So you listen bal peh, and hopefully I'll make things clear. That's my goal. And we're learning the Gemara here on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara says the following: Tana Rabbanan. We learned in a Braisa. Arboim u'shmona neviim, v'sheva neviyos nisnabu lahem liyisrael. During the time of our Jewish history, all the generations, we've had 48 Nevi'im, that means male prophets, and 7 female prophets. And the Braisa goes on to tell us the following: V'lo pichasu, v'lo hosiru, they didn't add anything, or they didn't subtract anything. You know, the Torah says, lo tosif, lo tigra, you can't add. We have 613 mitzvahs. You can't subtract lo tigra. Chutz mikra megillah. The exception to the rule was the mitzvah of reading the megillah. That was the first time in Jewish history that the Nevi'im added a new mitzvah. We only have 613, and now we add another one. So the Gemara is not happy with this. Gemara says, my dorush, which means minayin lomdu Mordechai v'Esther, how did they derive some sort of source? From what source did they derive the conclusion that you're allowed to add a mitzvah? The Torah says you can't add a mitzvah. Omer Rav Chiya bar Ovin, Omer Rav Yeshua ben Korcha, they learned it from a kal v'chomer. Uma me avdus l'cherus, amrina and shira, mi misa l'chaim lo kolshken. It's like a rhetorical question. In the case, Rashi explains, of Yitzias Mitzrayim, they stood at the Yamsuf, and what was at stake here was that the Mitzrayim wanted to take them back to Mitzrayim. And Hashem did a great miracle. So that's called, in the language of the Gemara, that's called Me'avdus L'cheres. Now, what did the Jewish people do in response to the great miracle of Kriyas Yam Suf?
The song.
Exactly. Oz Yashir. They recited Shira. Now, in the case of Purim, where Haman wanted to destroy all the Jewish people, that's called Mimiso L'chaim. That means that God saved them from annihilation, physical death. And that's even a greater miracle than the miracle of saving them from Avdus L'cherus. Because in the case of Avdus L'cherus, in the case of Yitzis Mitzrayim, the lives were not in danger. What was in danger was slavery versus freedom. Now, when do you have a greater sense of gratitude and thanksgiving?
When you're not in
danger. Okay, we got Thanksgiving coming up, right? So, is it in the case of Avdus L'cherus? I mean, again, it's not pleasant to be an Eved.
And there was a gezeira on the boys, but that's not the whole of the people.
That's also true. But Mimiso L'chaim, in the case where the Jewish people were saved from death, is Kolshken. So this is the basis of the takana that Mordechai and Esther instituted called Purim. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that we have to express gratitude to Him, and that's what the Jewish people did in the case of Me'avdus L'cherus, when they left Mitzrayim and they recited Shira, how much more so do we have to express our gratitude on Purim, when Hashem saved us from the Gzeir of Haman? That's called Mimisa L'chaim. He saved our very lives. Now, it's true that we have some sort of an obligation as a result of the Hatzolah that Hashem saved us, Mimisa L'chaim, He saved our lives. But in the case of Me'avdus L'cherus, how did that obligation express itself? How did the Jewish people fulfill that obligation of gratitude to Hashem? Shirat Hayam. In the case of Purim, Well, what's the main mitzvah of Purim? Megillah. That's not Shiras Hayam. So the Gemara says if the entire thrust and the basis for the establishment of Purim is this Kal Vachomer based on Shiras Hayam, is then Hallel Nami Neimo. Okay, so we're doing a sugya now of Hallel, which is on Yudches Amud Beis. On Yudalet Amud Aleph. And the Gemara is now asking, well, what kind of mitzvah, what form should the mitzvah take when the obligation is based on gratitude and expressing thanksgiving? It's not eating turkey, so what is it? How? On any day that Hashem brings about a miracle and a salvation, our response, our obligation must be Hallel. Now, how many times do we say Hallel on Hanukkah?
Every day.
Eight times.
Yeah.
How many times on Purim?
Zero.
So what happens over here? Why is it that on Purim there's no Hallel? And on the contrary, the whole thrust, the whole basis and justification for establishing this holiday of Purim and this mitzvah Megillah is this Kal Vachomer, that if me Abdus L'Cheres Amrin and Shira, then me Misa L'Chaim Kolshkin. If that be the case, then our, you know, our whole mitzvah, the whole thrust of Purim should be a recitation of Hallel. You know, on Hanukkah we have Hallel every day, and on Purim we don't have Hallel. We just have the Kriyas HaMegillah. So the Gemara offers. I'm just going to make a bracha here. Bracha toali. The Gemara offers a series of answers to this question. The first answer is Lufisha Ein Omrim Hallel Al Nes Shebechutzlar. So there's a fundamental difference between the miracle of Chanukah and the miracle of Purim. Where did the miracle of Hanukkah transpire? Here in the land of Israel. And on that we say Hallel. But the miracle of Purim, that was in Chutz Laretz, right? In the 127 provinces of Paras and Madai. And there's a rule that we don't say Hallel on a miracle that took place in Chutz Laretz. The only exception to that is going to be what?
Pesach,
Yetzias Mitzrayim. I mean, Yetzias Mitzrayim, they said Hallel at the Shira on the Yam. And that was in Chutzlaretz, that wasn't in Eretz Yisrael.
Shavuos also we say Hallel.
So the Gemara, yeah, and Shavuos, well, that's going to be a slightly different Hallel. See, Rabosai, let's keep our focus in mind. There are two categories of Hallel, and we sometimes mix them together. There's one Hallel that's generated by Yontif. A day of Yontif requires Hallel. We have to understand why, but then you have to accept that as an axiom. Then there's another kind of Hallel, which is thanksgiving for a miracle. And in that sense, we have to compare the miracle of Hanukkah to the miracle of Purim. The miracle of Hanukkah, now the Gemara says, has a superior status. It requires Hallel because that's in Eretz Yisrael. The miracle of Purim has an relatively inferior status because that's in Chutzlaretz. It doesn't generate Hallel.
So Pesach has two reasons to say Hallel.
Okay, it depends what day of Pesach you're talking about. In other words, the miracle that we commemorate during the course of Pesach, of Kriyas Yamsuf, that's the seventh day of Pesach. Okay, well again, all this has to be worked out. So the Gemara says the following. Yitzias Mitzrayim, Dines Shebechutz Laretzu, is Heichi Amrin and Shira. I can't accept your first answer that there's no Hallel on a miracle in Chutz Laretz because the very paradigm and source for Hallel is the case of Kriyas Yamsuf, and that was a nest that took place in Chutz Laretz. So the Gemara says the following: Kidisanya, I'll quote to you a brisa. Achelo nichnesu Yisrael Aretz, before Yoshua took the people across the Jordan and they entered into the land of Israel, is Hukshru Kol Harotzas Lomar Shira. We hadn't yet sanctified the land of Israel. This is before the conquest of Yoshua. And therefore all the lands on the face of the earth have the same status. And Hallel, because of a great miracle, is a requirement in any country, anywhere on the face of the globe. But now, Shenichnasu Yisrael La'aretz, in any period of time post Yoshua, when the land of Israel was sanctified through the conquest of Yoshua, Lo Hukshu Kol Ratzis Lo Mashira. Now Eretz Yisrael has a sanctity that's above and beyond that of any other land in it. And therefore, only a miracle that transpires in Eretz Yisrael requires what? Hallel. But in the case of Purim, which is way after Yoshua and the conquest and the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael, we don't recite Purim, Hallel on Purim because it's Chutz La'aretz.
But we were in Galus.
Say again?
We were in Galus. So this one.
In Paras and Madai.
Yeah.
Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, yes.
Right. So that's not Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, you know, it would be, it's below par, so to speak. It doesn't live up to that standard of Eretz Yisrael, of a Ness in Eretz Yisrael. So Chanukah crosses the border, it reaches the Ness of Eretz Yisrael, therefore requires Hallel, but Purim does not. It's in Chutz La'aretz. So that's one answer to the Gemara. The Gemara gives a second answer. Rav Nachman Omar, his answer is that even though a Ness in Chutz La'aretz could generate Hallel, but in the case of Purim, we don't need Hallel. Why not? Kriyasa Zui Hilula. The reading of the Megillah itself is Hallel. When we publicize the great miracle of Purim, that is the fulfillment of the mitzvah. How we don't need a formal Hallel that was formulated with all the different paragraphs of Tehillim. All we need is to publicize the miracle. What's the greatest act of publicizing the miracle of Purim? Reading the Megillah. So that's called, in the language of the Gemara of Rav Nachman, Kriyasa Zui Hilula. That Kriya will be the fulfillment of Hallel. We don't need Hallel. Rav Amar, Rav is going to give a third explanation as to why there's no Hallel on Purim. Is Bishlei Mahasam in the case of Yetzias Mitzrayim, on that miracle, we're going to say Hallel. Because Hallel begins with the Pasuk Hallelu Avdei Hashem, meaning that we thank Hashem because now we can serve Him as servants of Hashem. V'lo Avdei Paro, we're no longer servants of Paro. Elohacha, but here in the case of Achashverosh, Hallelu Avdei Hashem V'lo Avdei Achashverosh. Can we actually declare and thank God because we are now free of any sort of bondage? There's no dominion over us. Is that really feasible? We are Avdei Hashem exclusively. We have no one that's subjugating us. Akati, even now after the great miracle of Purim, Avdei Achashverosh Hanan, we still remain subject to the rulership of Achashverosh. So in other words, the Ness of Purim doesn't size up to that of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because in the case of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we can declare Hallelu Avdei Hashem. We are now no longer Avodim to Paro. We're exclusively subject to Hashem. We are Avdei Hashem. But in the case of Purim, we can't really say that. Because again, although Purim was a great miracle, we were saved, and it was Mimisa L'chaim, but Akati, even after Purim, we are Avdei Achashverosh. In fact, the very last pasuk in the Megillah tells us that we had to pay taxes. And you wonder why the Megillah had felt so, you know, so compelled to tell us that we're still paying taxes, you know, to Paras U'Modei Tachashverosh. And the answer is to tell you that, look, you know, it's very nice, and certainly this was a great salvation, but, you know, we're still under the rulership of Achashverosh. And by the way, philosophically, on the side, this means that the Jewish people are very vulnerable. That there are nations on the world that will sometimes decree annihilation, and then will somehow, through divine intervention, will survive the decree, but we're still within the control of that nation. You never know what's going to happen tomorrow. Yeah, I'm thinking to myself about the neo-Nazi movement. You know what I'm saying? We have anti-Semitism and we're still subject to the nations of the world. Okay, the Spaniards are offering us free, you know, if we can prove that we descend from the Ranas, they're offering us citizenship. Shkoyach. thank you, but no thanks. You know what I mean?
Yes,
I get enough hassle with Israeli citizenship. I served in the army for 13 years. I don't need another country. You know, I'm not going to. Well, they wouldn't take me into the Spanish army anyway, but they got better cases for them. So here's the Gemara. Yeah, Max, what were you saying?
I think the Spanish, you have EU citizenship, so it's not a bad one.
So the Gemara's final conclusion is that we're still Avdi d'Achashverosh. Now, Rabosai, what I'd like to ask you is the following question. Is there any way of clarifying which of these opinions we accept? Let me go through the three opinions first. The first opinion is that there's no halal on Pur because it's a Nesen Chutz L'Aretz. And as soon as we entered into the land of Israel, Yoshua conquered the land, it was sanctified, then we only recite Hallel on the Nes here in Eretz Yisrael. And that's the first. The second answer is that we need Hallel on Purim. But we don't have to fulfill it in the formal structure of Hallel, but rather we have a substitute. What's the substitute? Megillah. And the third answer, that of Rava, is that we're still under the control of Achashver. Shakati Avdei D'Achashver. Is there a way of clarifying which one of these answers we accept? Now, in order to answer my question, how do I clarify which one we accept? And Chaim saying maybe we accept all of them. I'm going to tell you a nafka mina. Why do I want to tell you a nafka mina? If there's a halachic difference between one, two, or three of the answers, then I could look into the halacha and I could see how we paskin in that case. What would be a case which would depend on these different answers? Where would there be a nafka mina between these answers? Now, how many people here in this room served in the Israeli army? Max, I know you did. Well, you did Binyamin, you did Chol. When I was in the army, we had a classical problem on Purim if we were stuck on the base. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm talking about? We didn't have a Megillah.
Oh.
You didn't experience that?
No.
Okay. Because the Rabbi Nut probably was taking good care of you.
I read twice. In the morning on the way, it was a Sunday morning. They show up before the army. Then in the army, they took us to go here and do it.
In my experience, it wasn't so simple. Yeah, I was in the army a little bit before your time. So in those days, there were Megillahs like floating around in every single base across the face of Israel.
Technology has changed.
What has changed?
Technology has changed.
Technology. I don't know how that's going to help you exactly.
You get on your phone. You have to read from
Parker. Yeah, you have to read from a Megillah. Hey, listen, man, I spent $500 on a Megillah, and that was the cheapest deal. My Megillah today is worth three times that amount.
Is that
better? No, I don't have it on. That much I don't have. That would make it five times even. You know, if I had bought in Katamon, 50 years ago, I'd be rich. But I didn't buy in Katamon, you see? So Megillah is a rare commodity. But okay, Rabosai, I call a kavod to your Rabbanim over there in the army. I wasn't Zoch. So again, let me get back to my question. What's the nafka mina between these answers? There's one answer here, of the three, that really belongs into a category of its own. It's radically different than the other two answers. The other two answers are, in a sense, in agreement fundamentally about the issue of Halal on Purim. Is there Halal on Purim? Am I required to recite Halal on Purim? Let's go through the three answers. The first answer says that on a Nes in Chutz Laretz, there's no Halal. So is there Halal on Purim? No Halal on Purim. Let's jump to the third answer. You could already sense which answer I want to focus on. The third answer says that Akati Avdei d'Achashverosh Hanan. Hal means Avdei Hashem. Can we really say that we're exclusively servants to Hashem? Akati Avdei d'Achashverosh Hanan. Is there Hal on Purim? Any obligation?
No.
Because we're still Avodim to Achashverosh. But let's take the second answer. Is there a chiyuv halal on Purim according to the second answer? Yes, we are chayav in halal on Purim. How do we fulfill that obligation? By reading the Megillah. What's the nafkamina?
We do say a sort of halal.
What's the nafkamina, Rabosai? Okay, it's not negated to you because your rabbanim took good care of you in the
army. If you don't have a Megillah, do you say halal?
Exactly. So the Meiri, who is a Rishon, back 8, 9 centuries ago, he says that if you're stuck with Adam and Gil on Purim, you have to recite Hal. Which one of the three answers did he accept? Kriyasa Zuhilu, meaning the second answer of the three. The second answer of the three should be put on one side of the equation against the other two, because that answer maintains that there is a Chiyuv Hal on Purim. How do we fulfill the Chiyuv Hal on Purim? In what form? By reading the Megillah. If we don't have a Megillah, then we have to recite Hal. We have no substitute to replace Hal. So now what I want to study with you is the Rambam. Because I think now that we have enough Gemina, we can begin to see if the Poskim will give us a clue as to which of these three answers we accept. So I photocopied a page, actually two pages, which I left on the table right behind you, in the back table. I made four copies of each of two pages. So if we can...
we'll share.
If you don't mind sharing a little bit, again, I can jump over to the photocopy. She make more copies, but I don't think we have to do it.
Where's your goat?
Okay, good. Now, what I want you to do is turn to a page, just to make sure we're all on the same page, that should say on it, Reish Ayin Ches. Okay? If you found such a page that says Reish Ayin Ches on the top right, please raise at least a finger. I'm not going to ask for a hand. Okay, we got one finger up. I'm waiting to find four people. We have two. Per couple here. You know, three. That was short one. There should be a fourth one. Hello, anybody home?
Got it.
Reish Ayin Ches. And we're looking at Simon Chav Dalet, and that's called Halil B'Purim. Mm-hmm. Interesting, the very title itself kind of, you know, captures... yeah, it captures my fancy, because there is no Halil B'Purim. So why do you write an article here called Halil B'Purim? But the answer is, we start with the Rambam. And whenever we start with the Rambam, we know we're in for some exciting stuff. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Chanukah that there are 8 days in the year in which we have an obligation to read Hallel. Now notice the Rambam's language, Ligmar Bahemis HaHallel. So for example, is Rosh Chodesh going to be on the Rambam's list?
No,
because that's not Ligmar. What does Ligmar mean?
Full Hallel.
To read the entire Hallel.
Bracha that the Sephardim say.
Correct. It's not going to be a brach on Rosh Chodesh for Sfarim because they're going to follow the Rambam Shita. The Rambam Shita is there is no Hal on Rosh Chodesh. Again, you might have a custom to recite Pirkei Tehillim on Rosh Chodesh, but that's not the real Makoy Halal. The real Makoy Halal is Ligmar Es HaHalal. And let me ask you this, Binyamin. You're representing the Sfaradim tonight, okay? what brach do you recite on the days that we do say a full Halal?
Ligmar
Es HaHalal. Do you hear that, Rabbi Osai? The Rambam would have the Nusach Hashem Kitchanim, it's also Mitzvah, Ligmar Sahalal, because Halil is an entity that has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and it's all or nothing. If you recite part of Halil, that's not Halil. How many days of the year do we have Halil, meaning Ligmar Sahalal? 18. And the Rambam gives you the whole list over there. It's interesting, the largest chunk of that list is going to be which holiday?
Chanukah.
It's all in.
Because Chanukah is 8 days. Again, in the case of Sukkot, you'll have 7 days, plus you'll have Shmini Atzeres, which is an 8th day. And in Chutzlaretz, you'll add a 9th day, which is called Simchas Torah in Chutzlaretz. But be that as it may, in terms of one single body of a holiday, it's Chanukah that gets the largest chunk. Now the Rambam asks the question. There's one holiday that's not on the list of 18.
Rosh Chodesh, as
he said. Well, Rosh Chodesh is not a holiday. There's no miracle on Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, the only holiday that was omitted here on this list is Purim. What happened to Purim? Who asks that question? The Rambam himself asks that question. Says the Rambam, v'lo tiknu halil b'purim shekriyas hamagila hi ha-halil. Can it be more explicit than that? Which of the three opinions in the Gemara did the Rambam accept? Rav Nachman, the middle opinion. He refuses to say that this is a nes in Chutz Laretz. He thinks that Yitzis Mitzrayim required Halel, and yet it's a nes in Chutz Laretz. He refuses to accept the last answer that Katiacha Avdei Dachashverish Anan, because there's still a great salvation. But the Rambam accepts the middle opinion that Kriya Samagila Hi HaHalel. So Rabosa, I come back to my case in Tzahal for me, not for you. And we didn't have a Megillah. So what do? We recite Halel. The Rambam doesn't spell it out. The Meiri, who is later than the Rambam, but not much later, he spells it out as we'll soon see. Now, in the balance of this paragraph, this first paragraph, he tries to prove where the Rambam was coming from. How did the Rambam know that Megillah is a substitute for Halel? So this entire paragraph is a summary of what we did in the Gemara in Megillah. And the Rambam accepted that opinion. Not only that, the Rambam has an introduction to what's called Minyan HaMitzvahs. You know, the Rambam counts all 613 mitzvahs. And he has an introduction. In his introduction, he writes, V'tzivu likros ha-megila bo'onosa. We have a rabbinic requirement, mirabbanon, to read the Megillah in its time. Again, what is in its time?
Night and day.
Either the 14th of Adar or the 15th of Adar, correct? And the Rambam says, Kidei lahazkir shvachav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why do we read the Megillah? In order to praise God. What does that sound like, Rav Osai? If I were to tell you about another mitzvah, the purpose of which is to heap praise on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, would be Halel. Excellent, Joel. It would be Halel. The Rambam is basically telling you what he already told you in his Mishneh Torah, but he's very consistent, that Kriyas HaMegillah is to be Mavarech Umahalel, to thank Hashem. And the Meiri in the next paragraph writes, Im Hoya B'makom She'ein Lo Megillah. Rabosai, this is a very relevant case. There are many places on the face of the earth. Again, if you're on the moon, Lubavitch, I'm sure, will give you a Megillah. But there are many places on the face of the earth where you just won't have a Megillah, says the Meiri. Mi She'ein Lo Megillah Koreas HaHalel. You have to recite Halel. Shari lo nimna akriyasa. Why were we prevented? Why do we omit Halel? Elamit nesha kriyasa megillah bimkomo. That kriyasa megillah is our fulfillment of the mitzvah of Halel. So we have a substitute Halel. But now if we don't have the megillah, and we don't have a substitute Halel, then we go back to the original Halel. So Rabosai, if I were to ask you the following question, before you came into this class, and now at this point, how many minutes into the class? About 25 minutes into the class. You should give me a totally different answer. The question is there Halel on Purim?
Yes.
Before you came into the class, there's no Halel on Purim. The Gemara gives three reasons, possible reasons why there's no Halel on Purim. Now we're saying, excellent, there is Halel on Purim. What do you mean there's Halel? I never said Halel on Purim, except for once when I was in the Israeli army. I never said Halel on Purim.
You were Yosef Megillah.
Exactly. That we accept the sheet of Rav Nachman, Kriyosazui Hilula, and there is Halel on Purim. We experienced a great miracle, Mimisa L'chaim. Haman had Exer L'hashmin, Larg L'abo, you know, to kill everybody, and Hashem saved us. That miracle is a great miracle.
You actually said Halel on the army?
That I don't remember. It's many, many years ago.
And would it be a full
house? I think if I remember correctly, we passed like this Meiri. It's brought down in the Chofetz Chaim's Bir Halacha, you know, which is a super commentary around the Mishnah Berurah.
Would you say it's at night time and in the day?
No, only during the day.
Oh.
Only during the day. Howl is only by day. There's no such thing as howl.
Except for Pesach, twice.
Okay. You guys are too brilliant for me. I can't get anything by you here. You know, say, I like to dramatize things and build up to questions, but you know all the answers before I ask the question.
So the Bureau says you would say during the day, full halal, if you don't have a...
Yeah, full halal. It's got to be a full halal.
With a bracha.
Yeah. With a bracha.
And that's better than saying Megillah without a clap, but saying it from a
not worth a dime. Not worth a dime.
Because it's no bracha.
No, I'm just saying, it's just... It's no bracha. But I'm saying, why is there no bracha? Because it's not worth anything.
There's no mice in Megillah.
It's not a matter of just telling the story. You know, I can bang on the table and tell you, b'vayhivi me'achashverosh. In fact, even if I have Megillah, the Gemara says, based on a Mishnah later on, that Karav al Peh, if he lifts his eyes up from the Megillah and he reads it because he knows it by heart, he's been reading the Megillah for the last 90 years, he knows it by heart. And every Purim he reads it 15 times, so even one Purim would have been enough
to lift. And he goes to Yerushalayim, does another 15 times.
Right, then he goes to Yerushalayim. Lo Yatza, he's got to read it from the Ksav, you know, from the Megillah, Ksuva, al Klaf, you know, and everything else. On the side, by the way, you mentioned before, Joel, technology.
Right.
So I smile, but I don't think you understood why I smile. Okay. There's something called, let's see if I can remember the name of it. Oof, give me a second. It's at the tip of my tongue. Anyway, I'll describe it to you. Maybe you'll remember what it's called, possibly, okay? They've developed a technology which really is hundreds of years old, but they've now made it so sophisticated. And I would show you a Megillah that was, I don't have it with me, but that was created with that technology. You've never seen anything like it in your life. It's absolutely stunning. What do they have? I know it starts with an S, it's coming to me slowly. They have some sort of a square, you know, like a wooden square. Silk, okay, it's coming to me. What's the next word?
Silk
screen, that's what it's called. Excellent. So what they do is they pour the ink onto the silk screen, and the technology has it that in about... I think the whole thing takes under an hour. They produce the most beautiful Megillah you can imagine. It's absolutely stunning. So they buy cloth, that's the expensive part. The silk screen they have, and they produce Megillahs. And there's a fellow that's doing this in New Jersey, and he's producing these Megillahs.
Are they considered legitimate to read from on Purim if it's not on...
So this became a gigantic controversy. What happened was that this fellow, I happen to know him, he is a student of a Sephardic rabbi in Lakewood, New Jersey, named Rav Abadi. And he got a letter from Rav Abadi that this is a kosher Megillah. What was Rav Abadi's way of thinking? It's not like a book that's mass-produced by machinery. Here you take ink, and you have to pour the ink into the silk screen. That act of pouring the ink into the silk screen is considered writing a Megillah. And all, as we say, heck broke loose. The rest is history. My friend is no longer producing silk screen Megillahs, which has come out because
made a nice sculpture.
I'm telling you, it's unbelievable.
And it went very fast.
Some of the cynics say that the reason why the poskim prohibited it is because we put all this stuff out of business. Because it's much more beautiful than a human creation. It's just incredible.
Is it?
But getting back to Joel's question, if I don't have a Megillah, can I fulfill the mitzvah? The answer is a flat no. Yeah. I forget your first name.
Gordon.
Gordon is your first name. Yes. Oh, okay. So I thought that was your last name.
It's also a common last name. Is it? I mean, he could have still made them as a decorative piece, could he not?
No one's going to pay him the price for a decorative piece. It's not a work of art in the sense that it is created by technology. You know, it's like shooting ink out. You know, it's not a. In other words, when he produces this Megillah, you'll know that that's his Megillah. They all look the same, pretty much. You know, he has the mold, you know, of the silk screen. So again, it's worth something. Like you say, it's a piece of art. It could be the Poskim would rather not have it on the market as a piece of art because, you know, you might be fooled into thinking that it's a perfectly kosher Megillah. It looks exactly and even more beautiful than a real Megillah. Okay. So what happens now? I'm stuck with Adam Megillah. So the Meiri says, we paskin that Purim requires Hallel. I have to recite Hallel. Well, I never said Hallel. Oh, you didn't say Hallel because you read the Megillah. And Kriyas Zuhi Hilula. The Kriyas HaMegillah is your fulfillment of the mitzvah of Hallel, but you don't have a Megillah. Is you have to say Hallel. That's the Meiri. Now we get to someone called the Prima Gadol. Now the Prima Gadol, you have to understand, lived, let's say 150 years ago, 200 years ago. We're talking about centuries upon centuries after the Meiri. And we're also talking about the Birkei Yosef, who agrees with that Shita. The Birkei Yosef is known in the yeshiva world as the Chidah. There's no city in Israel that doesn't have a street named after him. His name was Azulai. He was probably the greatest mind among Sephardic Jews in the last three centuries. And he wrote a book called The Birkei Yosef. I'm a proud owner of The Birkei Yosef, which I'm meaning the first edition. And he writes the following. V'arambam kosav lo tiknu halel b'purim. He says, let's read the Rambam carefully. The Rambam doesn't say Chayav Likros Halel Bepurim Ella Kriyasa Zui Hilula, but rather the Rambam says Lo Tiknu Halel Bepurim. They never established Halel on Purim. Says the Birkei Yosef, if you read the Rambam meticulously, it sounds like there was never a takana. They never enacted any sort of obligation to read Halel on Purim. And why didn't they do so? Because they have the Kriyas HaMegillah. The Efshar, therefore, says the Birkei Yosef, the Gam L'tam Zeh, Af Misha Ein Lo Megillah, Lo Yikra Halel B'Bracha. Max, this comes back to your question, should I make the Bracha or not? And we have now the Birkei Yosef. Mishum the Kriyasa Halel Lo Tiknu. They never made a Takana to read Halel on Purim. So it's almost a technical, historical point over here, meaning, since they had the option of Kriyas HaMegillah, they never went ahead and established an obligation to read what? Hallel. To read Hallel. So even in a situation where you don't have Kriyas HaHallel, you're not going to read Hallel. You don't have Kriyas HaMegillah, you're not going to read Hallel because they never historically established that mitzvah of reading Hallel. And he says that that's what the Rambam seems to indicate when he added the words Lo Tiknu Halel B'Purim. He didn't have to add that. The Rambam could have said, if he wanted to teach me that you do have an obligation to read Halel on Purim, except that you fulfill that obligation with Megillah, if you have a Megillah, then the Rambam should have said, Tiknu Halel B'Purim Elisha Kriyas HaMegillah Hi HaHalel. That the Rambam doesn't say. The Rambam says, Lo Tiknu Halel B'Purim. Says the Chidah, they never made an enactment and they never established an obligation to read Hallel on Purim. And therefore, if you stuck with Adam Megillah, you would not be obligated in the midst of Hallel. So according to Birkei Yosef, you don't say Hallel. But again, the Meiri writes, and I think he's brought down, if I remember correctly, in the Mishnah Brura, that if you don't have a Megillah, then you should recite Hallel. Now the action starts. Okay, everybody ready for this? Okay, now we're going to get to some very, very interesting material. Now, the Gemara Megillah told us, quoting a Brisa, that how many Nevi'im were there, male Nevi'im?
18.
48.
48.
You got the 8 right. 48. How many Nevi'ims were there?
7,
that you got right. And they never added anything or subtracted anything from the Torah except for Mikra Megillah, except for Purim. On what basis did they feel they had the green light, what we call the license, to go ahead and establish a new mitzvah of reading the Megillah? The Gemara says the Kal V'Chomer. If the Avdus Lecherus, you have to say Shira, and that's the case of Shiras Hayam, says Rashi, then how much more so be Misa Lechayim, when Hashem saved us from the decree to annihilate every last Jew of Haman. So Rashi, as we saw, says that what does the Gemara mean by Avdus Lecherus? It means Shiras Hayam. That's what Rashi says. I'll read to you the Rashi explicitly. Rashi says, may Avdus Lecherus be Yitzias Mitzrayim Omru Shira Al Hayom. Ubituri Evan. Now, just historically, the Turi Evan is not known in the yeshiva world as the Turi Evan, because that wasn't his magnum opus. His most famous work was called the Shagas Aryeh. So it's the same author. And he says the following. And now we're going on to page Resh Ayin Tes, for those who are following inside. He says that this Kal Vachomer, from the Shira, the Oz Yashir that was recited on the Yam, and the Gemara then asks, Ihochi Halel Nami, that we should say Hallel. He says, wait a second, what day of Pesach did they recite the Shira Sayam? Right, they left Mitzrayim on the 15th, and it's only on the 7th day, as Ari says very well, that's when they recited Shira on the Yam. So he says, Osayom, the 7th day of Pesach, Lo Amrin in Shira. You remember the Rambam has 18 days, a list, in which we read the Hallel. Guess what? The 7th day of Pesach is not on the list.
Right.
Again, we have a minhag to recite Hallel. The Ashkenazim will recite Hallel with a bracha. The Sfaradim will omit a bracha because it's only a minhag. It's not the real full Hallel. So this is very odd. The Gemara says that if the reason why we should say Hallel is because of a Kal Vachomer from Shirat Hayam, it's very odd. In Shirat Hayam, there is no Hallel. There's a Shira, but there's no Hallel. And the Gemara, which the Rambam based himself that lists, the Gemara has actually 21 days of Hal because of Chutzlaritz, of what's called Yom Tov Sheni. In Eretz Yisrael, we only have 18 days. But in any event, the last day of Pesach is not on any list whatsoever. So how, asks the Turi Evan, can Rashi say that the whole thrust of the Gemara, assuming that on Purim we should be reciting Hallel, is based on Pesach, which is the day of the 7th day of Pesach, when we don't say Hallel? Isn't that kind of paradoxical? That's question number one. Boy, to answer that question, you know, you really have to be a genius. I don't even begin to, you know, like sometimes I feel intuitively there's a light at the end of the tunnel. You know, I don't know how to get there, who had a five life. But here, it's like this is an immovable mover. I mean, how can you begin to answer this question? You're going to learn Hallel, derive it from the 7th day of Pesach. There is no Hallel on the 7th day of Pesach. Mamish Wah. But that's not the only question that we have. The second question is that the Gemara in Masechta Erechim has a whole different argument as to why we should be reciting Hallel on Purim. Not with this Kal Vachomer that we saw here in Masechta Megillah, that if Mi Avdus Lecherus they recited Shira, how much more so Mi Misa Lechayim? But rather, the Gemara says, wait a minute, Chanukah makes up 8 days of the list of 18, or in Chutzot 21 days in which we recite Hallel. And therefore, why do we recite Hallel on Chanukah? Now let's explain. All the other days on the list, with the exception of Chanukah, have what's called a Karban Musaf. And again, this is complicated, it's not for us today, but a Karban Musaf is sort of like a secret password. Imagine in a computer, if you press Karban Musaf, then what shows up on the screen is Hallel. Any day that has a Karban Musaf requires Hallel. The Gemara goes on and says, well, that Karban has to be different than the day that came previously. So for example, on Sukkot, every day had a different number of cows, of bulls that they brought on the Mizbeach. But in the case of Pesach, every day was the identical carbon. So therefore, we don't say Hallel every day of Pesach. So Pesach really counts for only one day on the list when we have a complete Hallel. Whereas Sukkot, we complete Hallel 7 days because each day has its own carbon. So that's a complicated part of the sugya that's not relevant to us. But based on that, the Gemara says, why do we recite Hallel on Chanukah? There's no carbon on Chanukah. So the Gemara answers, Mishum Nisa. Can anybody translate those two Aramaic words into English? Spanish.
It's like a miracle.
Correct. Mishum Nisa, because there's another reason for Hallel. This is a major breakthrough. The Gemara says that there are two machayvim of Hallel. There's one machayv that generates a chiyuv because of the carbon. And there's another machayv because of the nes. So what can you guess is going to be the next question of the Gemara?
Purim is a nes.
Why not Purim?
Big nes. Yeah.
Purim was a great miracle. See, saying Hallel on Chanukah because of the nes.
But we said it wasn't a full nes exactly, because we still paid taxes at the end.
Oh, I see. Okay. But the Gemara doesn't know that. You know, that's the Gemara in Megillah. So when the Gemara in Megillah was asking, based on the Kal V'Chomer, so Gemara says that if we went out of slavery, we said Shira, how much more so if we were saved from Misal Chayim? So Gemara says, you know what? Maybe it's not the same, because when we went out of slavery, we were completely free. We were Avdei Hashem. And we no longer Avdei Paro. Paro's gone. He's in the bottom of the sea. There's no longer Mitzvah, a nation of Mitzvah. But in the case of Purim, we're still stuck with Achashverosh. But the Gemara in Masech Erechim is analyzing Purim and the question of Hallel on Purim for a whole different perspective. Not based on the Kal V'Chomer of Avdus L'Cherus, which means that, you know, you only say Hallel when you're free of any Avdus. But from the perspective of a Ness, that there's a Machayev of Hallel based on Ness. And we saw it in Chanukah, how much more so in the case of Purim. So the Gemara gives an answer, and the Gemara says, Purim Ika Nisa? And the Gemara answers, yes. The Ness of Purim generates Hallel. But we have another method of fulfilling Hallel. What's that? Kriyas HaMegillah. So when we compare these two sugyas, one sugya Masech Erechin and one sugya Masech Megillah, we find that the end result is the same. That on Purim we should be reciting Hallel, but just we have another method of fulfilling Hallel, namely through what? Kriyas HaMegillah. But how do we arrive at that? Why do we think and establish that there is a chiyuv Hallel on Purim that somehow has to be fulfilled? Two different approaches. The approach of Masech Megillah is a Kal V'Chomer from Shiras Hayam, and the approach of Masech Erechin is because of Ness with an equation to Chanukah. Very strange. Why was the Gemara in Megillah basing Hallel on the Kal V'Chomer from Avdus L'Cheres or Shiras Hayam? Why was the Gemara in Erechin basing it on the great miracle? It's very strange. So let's just summarize our two questions. The first question that we ask is, how could Rashi in Masechta Megillah say that this Kal V'Chomer is based on what took place, the Shiras Hayam, the Kriyas Hayam on the seventh day of Pesach? The seventh day of Pesach is not listed on the days in which we recite Hallel. We have a minute to recite a half a Hallel on the seventh day, but it's not the real Mekoyev Hallel. And question number two is, why is it that the Gemara in Erechin is coming from the perspective of Ness, whereas the Gemara in Megillah is coming from the perspective of the Kal V'Chomer based on Shiras Hayam? Now, in order to understand this, take a look at the next paragraph. Again, if you don't have the text, I apologize. He says the following. The Rambam wants to know, the Rambam wants to know about the following. What happens if the person who's reading Hallel on behalf of the Tzibur is a katan, an eved, or an isha? Now, what's common to these three categories of individuals is they're not obligated in the midst of Hallel. So, if I'm not obligated in a mitzvah, can I be motzi you in a mitzvah? No. But the Rambam says the only salvation would be the following. Listen to their Kriyas HaHalel and answer, repeat word for word what they say. Then you've recited Hallel yourself. So they become like the teacher and they feed you the language of Hallel. They can't recite Hallel. Will you listen to the Hallel? Because they're not obligated in Hallel. But you can answer word for word. And this is a Mishnah in Masechtas Sukkah. Okay. Now, would this halacha apply to Chanukah? Again, the Rambam is talking in Hilchas Chanukah. It would seem to apply to Chanukah, right? There's a mitzvah of Hallel for 8 days on Chanukah. And therefore, it means that if a woman reads Hallel and a man listens to her Hallel, is he Yotzei the mitzvah?
No.
If he doesn't repeat it word for word? He's not Yotze.
No.
Because the Rambam has three categories of people who are not obligated in Hallel. And presumably the Rambam is referring to Chanukah. Now this is wild. Because logically I would submit to you that Hallel on Chanukah is obligatory on the ladies no less than it is on the men. Even though you'll argue what Hallel is a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. It's a time-bound mitzvah. Well, I'll give you another example of a time bound mitzvah, yet women are obligated.
Megillah,
excellent. But I want to get something from Hallel, Ari, to show you how this question evolves as a very precise question. Tosfos says that women have to recite Hallel on the night of Pesach, because that Hallel on the night of Pesach commemorates the freedom and the liberation from slavery. Women are included because of Afhein Hayubosa in this. They were also included in the great miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, and therefore they are obligated in Hallel. So you see clearly that whenever the women are included in the miracle, they are obligated to recite Hallel. So why does the Rambam say that with regard to Chanukah, if a woman would read Hallel for me, she's not obligated, and therefore I can't be Yotzei? We should obligate women on Hallel. Again, don't tell your wives this, because you know that's 8 days of Hallel. You know, some women will be very excited about that, you know, because today's women, Baruch Hashem, they want to accept upon themselves as many mitzvahs as possible. So tell them that logically, based on Tosfos Pesachim, who says that women are obligated in Hallel on Leil HaPesach, women therefore are obligated in Hallel on Chanukah as well. Yet the Rambam seems to indicate clearly that women are not obligated in Hallel on Chanukah. And why is that so? Havilon Lemeimer, we should have said Noshim Yischayvu B'Kriyas Hallel B'Chanukah. The Tosfos says that Noshim Chayovas B'Hallel B'Leil Pesach Afal Gav the Isha P'tur Mihallel. In general, women are exempt for Hallel. For example, on Sukkos and on Shavuos, a woman is not obligated in Hallel. So Tosfos says Shiny Hallel D'Leil HaPesach Shal Anes Ba. It's because of the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim. V'afhein ha'yubosa nes. So if women are obligated in the midst of Hallel on Leil HaPesach because afhein ha'yubosa nes, then ipso facto they should be obligated in Hallel on Chanukah because they were also included in the nes of Chanukah. Now how do I know that halachically women are obligated based on afhein ha'yubosa nes in Chanukah? Do women have to light Ner Chanukah? Yeah. Yes, yeah. Women have to light Ner Chanukah. Noshim Chayovas B'Ner Chanukah. So despite the fact that Ner Chanukah is a mitzvah saseh shazman groma, nevertheless women are obligated because of Afein HaYubos HaNes. So why shouldn't we obligate them in Hallel on Chanukah under the same logic of Afein Hayu B'Yos HaNes? Since it applies to Ner Chanukah to obligate women, it should apply to Hallel as well.
Should really also apply to Shavuot and Sukkot. Also
no, I'll tell you why. Because Shavuot and Sukkot is not a Hallel based on what? On Ness. But rather it's a Hallel based on the time period. Okay. The time itself is invested with the Kedushas Zman. You remember again, I don't know if you hear this. We pointed out based on the Gemara and Erech that there are two different categories of Halil. One obligation of Halil is generated by the day itself. The day is invested with a certain sanctity that requires Halil. How do I measure that? What's my litmus test? The karma, right? It's a special karma. Then there's another kind of halal that's generated by a miracle, like Hanukkah. There's no carbon on Hanukkah. There's no Kedush Sayom on Hanukkah. The obligation is Nes. That's why the Gemara in Erechin says, well, if you have to recite halal on Hanukkah, then you should have to recite halal on Purim as well, because of the Nes, because of the great miracle. But now we're going a step further, and we're saying that women should be obligated in halal on Hanukkah based on the fact that Hanukkah's halal is not invested in the day, it's rather it's the Nes, and women are included in the Nes, and Afhein Hoibos HaNes is going to obligate women. So therefore his bottom line is halal de Hanukkah shu'al HaNesba Kidabrina Bierchen, as we saw the Gemara in Erchin, is therefore, having one Lamema, we should have come to the conclusion that Gam Noshim Chayovos Bahalel. So, Rabbosai, let's summarize three questions that we have. The first question was Rashi in Masechta Megillah says that why do we have Halil on Purim? And the reason why we have Halil on Purim is based on a Kal V'chomer from the Halil of Kriyas Yamsuf. Well, guess what? Kriyas Yamsuf took place on which day of Pesach? The seventh day of Pesach. Is there Halil on the seventh day of Pesach? So how can you derive Halil from the seventh day of Pesach when there is no Halil on the seventh day of Pesach? Question number two is why do we have two different Gemaras? One Gemara in Masechta Megillah says that there should be Halil on Purim because of this Kal V'chomer from Shiras Hayam. Im mi avdus l'cheres hamrin and Shiras mi misal chaim lo kolshken. And the Gemara in Erechin has a different approach. We should be saying Halil on Purim because of the Nes, just like we say Halil on Chanukah because of the Nes. In both Gemaras, the Gemara says that we have a way in which we fulfill Halil, that obligation is fulfilled without reciting Halil, namely with Kriyas HaMegillah. But why did the Gemara think that there should be Halil on Purim? You have two different answers. The answer of the Gemara Megillah is based on the Kal V'chomer from Yitzias from Kriyas Yamsuf. The answer of the Gemara in Erechin is because of the Nes, no different than Chanukah. Now we have a third answer. Third question test. The Rambam indicates that women are not obligated in Halil on Chanukah. Why not? What about Afhein Hoyimos HaNes? On the night of Pesach, Tosus says that women have to read Halil. And yet on Chanukah, the Rambam says women are not obligated in Halil.
They're obligated to light the candles.
And yet they're obligated to light the candles. We apply the principle of Afein Hoyu Bioso HaNes. So Rabbosai, in the 5 minutes that we have left, we're going to try to go through the next paragraph on Nireh. And again, you know, they're going to clap, you know, V'hu Rachum here, so Hashem would have compassion and he'll have Rachmanis on us. And we'll have to answer Baruch. But let's see what we can do in 5 minutes. Vanira Lomar Bazeh. The Hadi Amrinon, this is on the left column here, on Reshayim Test. Hadi Amrinon, Divachanika Mishum Nes. Lonis Kavina Gemara Lomar Davi Halil Alanes Kemo Halil Belel Pesach. You might think that just like on Leil Pesach there was a great miracle, God took us out of Egypt, so too on Chanukah there was a great miracle, and both days have a chiyuv halal. So he says, no, they're fundamentally different. The emes hal de Chanukah, havi mitoras yontif. Right, the famous brice of my Chanukah establishes that Chanukah is set up as a yontif. However, what makes Chanukah into a yontif? There's no karbon, there's no isur malacha. The answer is the Nes. The Nes itself makes Chanukah into a yontif. So when the Gemara says that Halil on Chanukah is obligatory, and those are 8 out of the 18 days in which we read the whole Halil, what the Gemara means is that because of the miracle, Halil is obligatory because the day of Chanukah was elevated to the status of a yontif. That's not the Halil of Leil HaPesach. The Halil of Leil HaPesach is not a Halil of Yontif. In fact, which Halil would be the Halil of Yontif? That's tomorrow. That's during the day. Halil as a Yontif, in terms of the special status of the day, is always exclusively limited to the daytime. You cannot fulfill it at night. So what's the nature of Halil at night? And the answer is what's called Shira. Shira means that when a person experiences a miracle, he's obligated to sing a song of praise to God. Now ask yourself the following question. On the night of Hallel, on the night of Pesach, why would I recite Shira? What experience did I have that requires me to say Shira? Do you hear my question? In other words, you're saying that the Hallel of Leil HaPesach is not the classical Hallel of the day, because that would require that we wait till the day, and we have a Hallel on the day. So what's the nature of Hallel at night? On the night of Pesach, it's Shira. We're singing a song of praise. When is a person obligated to sing a song of praise? When they experience a miracle. What does that have to do with the night of Pesach? What's it called, Max? Can you say it out? Yeah, but what's Chayav Adam? I'll start you off. Excellent. Liros es Atzmo. Kilu hu yatsa mi Mitzrayim. So we are going out of Egypt on the night of Mitzrayim, and that's going to generate a Chiyuv Hallel. So when Tosfos says that women are obligated in Hallel on Leil HaPesach, what Tosfos means is not Hallel, but rather Shira, right? The Shira is obligatory on women, because just like we went out of Mitzrayim, the women folk also went out of Mitzrayim. That has nothing to do with Afhein Hayubosar Nes. Hallel on Chanukah is the Hallel of a day of Yontif. And that fits into the category of any day. And whenever Hallel is generated by the day, women are exempt, because that's a classical case of a Mitzvah Seishas Man Grama. So if we're going to raise the possibility of Hallel on Leil HaPesach, it cannot be the classical Hallel of a day. It's got to be the Hallel of Shira, and that's going to include the women as well, because the women experience that miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim no less than the men. But if you're talking about Hallel during the day, or for example Chanukah, which now is elevated to the status of a Yontif that generates Hallel, then women are exempt. Okay, then we'll stop now for Myriv. If anybody wants to finish this up, you'll have to come next Wednesday. So I left you with a couple of cliffhangers. We've answered one question out of the three. We still have two questions to answer.
Well, we've created another question, which is, why aren't women obligated on Shira on Chanukah? If they're obligated on Shira on Pesach.
So we're going to say the following, that Pesach is because Chayav Adam Liris Nesatzu Kilu Hu Yatsa Mitzrayim. We never found that on Chanukah. So the only Shira that we have is on the seventh day of Pesach, because when Klal Yisrael experienced the splitting of the Red Sea, that was a Shira, Az Yashir Moshe, because they experienced the miracle. And the Gemara thinks that maybe we have something similar in the case of Purim. We're going to have to work that out. Okay, that's going to be
next week.
Ibir Hashem next week. But, all right,
sorry,
thank you.
Sorry for walking in.
No, that's okay. Whenever you come, you're always.